Take every burden, Father. Hallelujah. And we pray that you manifest your power today. That your word become alive. It becomes real. It becomes the strength and the pillar of our lives as you speak unto us. Grant unto us ears to hear today, Father. Eyes to see. A mind that perceive, discern, and understand your truth. Help us all, I pray. The fragile, the weak, the strong, men, women, children. Help us all, I pray, Yahweh. Give strength unto those that are abroad in different places in the world, proclaiming this mighty power of your truth, that others may hear of the profound truth of Yahweh. For we know our Father by name, and not some elusive being, but by name, Father. You said that you will be the Father to the house of Israel. You said, Abba, you will be their Abba. And I trust you today. And what is an Abba without knowing his name? And I know your name today, Father. For Messiah, our hope, declared that name among the disciples. And they knew your name. And I am a disciple of Messiah. And I know your name, Father. We thank you today. Bless us all. Bless your word today as it is spoken, that the anointing may come forth according to your will. We ask all things in Messiah's name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. What a good thing to give thanks unto Yahweh and to gather in the tabernacle for the bread of life, that we may break the bread and dine on the nutrients of Almighty Yahweh. We may have sufficient for our souls in this hour, for this is a journey that we are on. We're almost like nomads. We have no certain dwelling place. Yahweh takes us from faith to faith, that he may be revealed in us and to us. And that is what faith does. We move from faith to faith, that Yahweh and the power of his strength may be revealed unto us as a newborn babe, as children. We don't understand the intricates of Yahweh. We don't understand some of the components. As a child, you look at certain things. We look at a computer. We don't understand the mechanics of the computer, the hardware, but we know that it works. And so you don't have to figure out what the mechanics are. You just know it works. And so that is the thing that you concentrate on, the things that you know how to apply it for the best, and you use it that way. You're trying to figure out how a little dial or chip or resistor work you're going to mess up. And so it is with Yahweh. You don't have to try to figure him out. He shows you who he is through his truth. And you just take that roadmap and you go from there. And once you go from there, you will be all right. We find ourselves messing up because we tend to deter or detour ourselves, as Evangelist Horn would say all the time, from what he has planned for us. There's something on my heart this morning. I do want to speak to us. I literally want to take my time so that it is clear and precise, that we may understand the very battle that we are up against. It is serious. It's real. There is no time for anything but to prepare for it. But one begins to make preparation as we watch the ants. You watch them, the days are getting cooler, so you don't see the activity of the ants. But during the summer long, they prepare for the winter months. As the elderly would do in certain periods of time in this culture of America and many countries, they would prepare. And that is to make sure you have all the necessities and the things that are necessary for the duration. When they call for a snow or cataclysmic weather in large cities, well, the people are not prepared. So they all rush out to the store and get a few loaves of bread, some milk, some eggs, and they literally think they're prepared for the long haul, but they're not prepared. Now, that is a superficial preparation. It is not a genuine preparation. What I want to establish is that one word, to prepare. And that is to take care of every little single detail and to make sure everything is ready. And that's the way we ought to live. And a life that is prepared and ready to die. To die. To die. And that is one thing that this nation has not done. And the people that call themselves the people of Yahweh, they have not done that. They don't prepare for the things that are imminent and the things that will come. We don't do that. We prepare for everything but that, and we do a shoddy job trying to prepare for those kinds of things. And the reason we don't make the genuine preparation, because it is not a reality. It is not real to us. So that we don't think that it is necessary. There is an order of preparation. And there must be an abundance, saints. You must have the abundance to take you through the shallow times. And if you don't have the abundance in you, then you're not going to go through the shallow or the difficult time. That's why many fall. That's why many stumble. That's why many turn back. That's why many go astray. Because their hearts are not literally prepared. The hearts are not truly searched. And to make sure that everything that is necessary to build is there, so that you may be strong in the faith and endure until the end. We don't do that. We don't prepare ourselves that way. Now we're in this hour where Yahweh wants us to prepare. Because we know that there is one thing that is truly going to come to pass. And death shall fill the face of the earth. It is. And that is the cessation, or there is no life of the spirit in man. We see that today. There's very little life or spirit in man today. They move like drones and clones. The world has cloned them. They're drones. They have no ability to orchestrate or to dictate their own lives, because you can't do it. It is by the power and the spirit of darkness that dictate in their lives what they will do, how they will live, and where they will go. And that is the truth, saints. And that's it. And so in that process, there is never a preparation or a preparing of what is beyond this life. And that was one of the messages in the old time revivals, that there must be a preparation for beyond this life, because this natural body is going to cease. We're going to die. Whether it is a violent death or a death, we're going to die. And we must come to that conclusion and begin to prepare for that. That is the whole life of Messiah. He prepared for one thing, and that was the death on that stake, that he may profoundly lift up the name of the Father. And we must prepare for that. I want to read. I want to read from 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. Because this is a metaphor of how our lives and the building of Yahweh, the tabernacle, whereby the Spirit of Yahweh dwells, ought to be. In this edifice or this form, this is the way we ought to be. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 1, I want to begin reading. Then David said, "This is the house of Yahweh. This is the altar of the burnt offerings for Yisrael." And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Yisrael. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of Yahweh. And David prepared iron in abundance. Not sparingly, but he prepared iron in abundance. For the nails for the doors of the gates, and for the joining, and brass abundant without weight. He did not put a small premium upon what was necessary to build this edifice for Yahweh. We put a premium upon Yahweh, or a limitation. We say, "I'm limited. I don't have time for this, Father. I don't have time to submit unto these stipulations or laws. So we say to Yahweh, I will not go beyond a certain boundary. These are my limitations. You must understand that, but David, there was no limitation. He had more than was necessary. Do we have at this moment faith to take us through death? Do we have at this moment the preparation of our heart, the preparedness and the readiness for death? Are we afraid of those kinds of realities and those things that are real and those things that are imminent? Do we have that? And yet David had more than enough. He made sure that they were sufficient. And we must make sure that we have an abundance, because when Messiah comes, he's coming for an abundance of fruits. The fruit of love and meekness and kindness. The things that we ought to work on to have abundance, we have less of that. And the things that bring death, we have an abundance of that. Backbiting, lying, scheming, sinfulness, hatefulness. We have an abundance of those kinds of things. And yet David had to prepare those things that were necessary for the building of the house of Yahweh. We must build this temple or this tabernacle of Yahweh, this holy edifice whereby everything about us will emanate Him, His power, His honor, His authority, His government, and men shall see that there is one that is lifted up. And because of that, it will begin to draw the curiosity of men unto that strong pillar in your life. Who is that? What is that that you are so filled with joy about? They will want to know. They will ask. They will inquire. So we have an abundance of those things that do not bring about the perfection of Yahweh. David knew what it would take to build this house, because the beauty of it would exceed anything upon the face of the earth. Why? Because the beauty of Yahweh's name. It was an edifice unto the name of Yahweh, where His name would dwell in that house. And we ought to be that way as the tabernacle of Yahweh. That His name ought to radiate out of our lives. And men ought to know that we are the sons of Yahweh. Not just the sons of a king, because there are many kings, but there is only one King of Kings. He is the only one that is the ruler of all rulers. And so His name ought to emanate from us with great authority and power. For without that name, there is even no hope in death. I will show you in Scripture. Shaul and the brothers of the New Covenant, they speak of those things. You cannot delete one part of Yahweh's truth. It all works in conjunction one with the other. So you can't take something out of the Torah and deny it in the New Covenant. It is the same. The New Covenant brings a spiritual life. The law in itself under Moshe, it was simply death. And a man had to work according to the principles of the laws that he could take great strength in. You see, I brought two turtle doves. I did this, I did that. And yet he will go constantly back to his own sins. The Messiah came to bring the law of the spiritual revelation and the strength of that law, that he would show us if we would allow the Father to allow that to work in us, we don't have to continuously go back to the same beggary of sin and wickedness. For the law is spiritual. We are very carnal, sold unto the death of flesh. It is the power of the law that give us strength to overcome sin. That is the only thing to give you power to overcome sin, saints. And Messiah came to fulfill the righteous principles of Yahweh. He did not come to destroy them. The heavens, the earth, and everything in creation shall be removed or taken out of place before one little jot or tittle pass from the law or the laws of Yahweh. Nothing will pass. And that is the truth. So David here, as he makes preparation for this tabernacle, he made sure that there was an abundance of those things that were needed. Verse 4, also cedar trees in abundance. Now look at how this is characterized. Metal was in abundance. Cedar was in abundance. Stones. David prepared iron in abundance. For the Zidonians and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. This is what I want to emphasize, verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And the house that is to be built for Yahweh must be exceeding magnificent, magnificent. It has to be a beautiful place. We are young. We are tender. Even in the revelation truth in this hour. And yet the house that we build for the Father, it must be a magnificent, a magnificent house. It must have, it must possess the beauty and the charm of Almighty Yahweh. And so he brings us, as he did Solomon, a young, tender one. He brought him to a place whereby there was no sin to be charged to him. David had sinned much. Was much blood upon his hand. And although he desired to build the house, Yahweh says, no. I must do that for one thing, that the kingdom must be established forever. And thy kingdom is established forever, because the word of Yahweh says so. He says, and to build a house for Yahweh must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of honor throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. And that's what he did. He prepared abundantly so that there would be nothing that lied. There would be no excuse to build this great edifice for Yahweh. And so Almighty Yahweh has prepared for us abundantly in the hope of Messiah, that we all are without excuse. You cannot continue to walk in the filthiness of sin and corruption, because these things will draw your mind away from the preparation of death. And that is why, folks, don't prepare for death today. I'm here to tell you the reality of it, that you shall die, and this body that exists in this life, it shall cease. So we must begin to prepare for the ultimate. And the ultimate is death. We walk in our own deceit and sins, and the things that bring forth death, there are certain sins. When they are finished, they bring forth death. And I'm going to identify them and show you the death that's already working in you. Show you the death that already working in you. It caused the mind to be turned away from Yahweh. It caused the heart to move to another dimension, and not the dimension of the spirit. We don't want Yahweh chastening in our lives. And yet he chastened David. He said that Yahweh chastened me sore. That is what David said. The Yahweh chastened him sore. He said, but he has not given me over unto death. He said, chase me sore. I didn't know what to do. He chased me so severely. But he didn't give me over unto death. He gave me time to prepare and make preparation. I warn us today that we must begin to prepare. We prepare for everything, but not the preparation that is the ultimate one. And this is the ultimate one. That we may see the power of the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. And the things that you prepare to do, even lying upon your beds and your own what you call free time, it is not to bring about the strength and the beauty of the truth of Yahweh that ought to emanate or come forth out of your life. The sins that bring forth death when they're finished. And when those sins are finished in you, it brings forth death. And I do know a dead man from a live man. I've seen enough dead folks to know them, to know a dead man from a live man. I know that there are those that are dead, yet they live, but yet they are still dead, because the sins have finished the work in their lives, and they have no life at all in them. David began to prepare abundantly. Although he did not build that tabernacle, he began to prepare abundantly. It's going to take each stone, and we ought to be the lively stones of Yahweh. It's going to take each stone to build that lively tabernacle of Almighty Yahweh. So we must prepare abundantly. The masons were set forth to chisel off and to cut off the excess of the stone. We care about excess baggages. Lies and corruption and sin, our own frivolity, our own corruption. And we don't see that excess baggage that we carry about in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits.
We don't see that. And that's why there is not a sincere preparation for life beyond this life. Because there is no belief in anything beyond this. That's why this is a generation that is most miserable, because it has hope only in this life. That's why it's miserable. It's not content. It's not satisfied with having food and raiment. We ought to be very content with that. That's why it's not satisfied. That's why the wickedness of the heart can never be satisfied. Hell and the grave are never full. Neither is the heart of man ever satisfied. You can't satisfy your heart. I was thinking, if you gave each man $100 today, that would not satisfy. Why? Because the more you give, the more his lust increases. And that is the truth, brothers and sisters. The more you have, the more your lust increases, the more you want. The more you imagine things that you want that you don't need. And that is how it operates. So you to go from $100 and they give him $500, he goes from that to another level. That's what faith does to us. It prepares us as we go from one place to the other. See, that's what the enemy does, because a man becomes so engrossed with that, so in love with that, because he desires the things that it affords him. That's why Yahweh intended for us to have food and raiment and just be content with that. He didn't intend for the other things. He didn't promise you no houses or land. Because the saints of old, they wandered through caves and dens. They had no certain dwelling place because they were making preparation for death. And so these things don't allow us to prepare for death now. They don't allow us. I won't slow down, believe me. Because I know the reality of what things are transpiring in this hour. I know they're real. And Yahweh is not going to continue to plead with the people that he has delivered. He's not going to continue to do that. He wants us to prepare to see him. We prepare to die. But we prepare to die with the spirit. We prepare the death that is separated from him. And those sins that bring forth death. I'm warning us all today. You better begin to govern your heart. And see what things you allow to your spirit. I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy. I don't care who it is. I will not allow someone to seduce my soul into hell. Because they don't care. And that's the truth. And so these are the sins that are manifested today, because death is working. It is working in the midst of the people today. They're lost without the knowledge of Yahweh. They go down into the channels of death, into darkness, and they bellow and they cry and they scream, and there is no hope for them at all. Only the righteous man has hope in death, not the wicked man. And I tell you one thing, that your righteousness might exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. What did they do? Well, the scribes and the Pharisees, they omitted, or they did not acknowledge the weightier things of the law. They paid their tithes, they gave their offerings and cumings, and they gave all of their gifts, but they omitted the weightier things of the law. Judgment. Truth. Justice. They did not deal with those kinds of things. And that's the heart of people today. Brother Dave tried to give us some emphasis on that on Wednesday night. Do you all remember what he spoke to us on? What? Oh, what? See, that's what the Pharisees and scribes did. They neglected the weightier things of the law. And that's what scribes and Pharisees do today. When you have that kind of spirit, you neglect the weightier things of the law. Justice, love, you don't work with those things, but you work with the things of the law of the flesh. Wickedness, sin, corruption, lies, deceit, backbiting, busybody. Those things corrupt you. Those are the things that corrupt you, your inward parts. Whereby they are so corrupt. Whereby there is no love for the brethren, and where there is no love for brethren or the saints, you even walk in death as you walk. You have no life in you. And that's the truth. That is the truth. So David began to prepare for the edifice, or the house of Yahweh. He made sure that there was an abundance. That Solomon would have no excuse. None whatsoever. For there was plenty there that was needed for the house. Gold, silver, every kind of precious stone. It was there. It was brought there for the house of Yahweh. And that's what Yahweh has done. He brought us out of all kinds of quarries. Every kind of rock bed there was, he brought us out. And he wants to polish us.
that we could be stones in the temple of Almighty Yahweh. That's what he's trying to do. But we reject this truth. We fight against him. We have our gods, and we have our gods of fortune, our gods of blessing. That is what this world has today. It doesn't love Yahweh. We don't want Yahweh to chasten us sorely. We get angry when he chasten us. I'd rather him chasten me than to give me over unto death. For the saints of old, they had a fear of death. They were under bondage of death. Why? Because the enemy of death had power. Shaitan had power over death. He did. The Messiah came to give us hope even in death. That's our security today. And having that security, then we ought to prepare for death, because we know that it's a precious thing before Almighty Yahweh. The death of his saints. That's why to those that say that they are saints, they don't want to die because they're not truly saints. Because those that are saints, they know to their Abba is a precious thing. And so there's no fear in death with him. The reason there's fear, because sin brings the fear of death. When you have sin in your heart and corruption, then there's a fear of death. You need to get your heart clean, purged and sanctified. For you don't even know the hour or the day. No, you don't prepare. Every second of your life should be one of preparation for that. You read the obituaries, you see them young of all ages. They're dead and they die. So respect of ages. You young ones may think that it is. You old ones may think that you have some granted some special reprieval because you're old. That's not so. Not one bit at all. You that are in the middle age, you think because I'm middle age, I'm vibrant, I'm young, I have more years. That's not so. You're not promised one thing at all. The only promise we have is the eternal security if we die in the faith. You die outside of the faith, you have no eternal security. And if you allow those sins that the scripture talks about that bring forth death to work in you, you have no security at all. So you got to be God to govern your heart. How? Well, by the laws of Yahweh, allow them to be applied to your heart that he may show you the sins and the corruption that are deep rooted in your soul. That's why you rise up. That's why you see that fermenting. That's why you see the scum. It comes up. When the heat is on, you see the scum. I don't care how much you boil something, you will always, there's always filth in it. You can boil cane and let it sit down overnight. You go back, you'll begin to see the germs and the filth. They will all still come. The more you boil, until it comes to its purest form. Its purest form. Same thing with gold and anything. There's one thing that they did when they had that Olympics in Utah, that the water was so pure that if you drink the water, it will literally pull fillings out of your teeth. And that was the purity of that water. But that's the purity of the water of life. It pulls out all the dross and the sin out of one's heart. Now that's natural water that they made. That was that water. It was so pure. And they did that to just break off one thousandth of a second so that one could break a record. That's what they did. And the water was so pure, they said, if you drink it, it literally will pull feelings out of your mouth. You literally could not drink it because the whole body is so corrupt. It couldn't bear it. It couldn't handle that pure water. And that's the way it is, because we are so corrupt in our own ways. We're walking in our own ways because all of our ways are pure in our own sight. But Yahweh way, the Spirit, we think we're right in our own doings and our own actions. So when the pure word of Yahweh tries to penetrate the mind, we reject it. We don't want that. We don't want to hear that. We don't want the chastening of Yahweh. David said in Psalms 118, verse 18, he said, Yahweh chastened me sore. He whipped me. He beat me. He said, but one thing he did not do, he did not give me over unto death. And I'm glad. Because if he had given me over to death and that sin, I would have been separated from him. And that's what death does. That's what the death of one spirit does. It separates you from Yahweh. That's why you don't take pleasure in the things of the Spirit. You don't take pleasure in prayer. No pleasure in prayer. You can sit there like a hypocrite and say you do, but you'll flat out deceive one. There's no pleasure in committing time to Yahweh. There's no pleasure in laboring for him. But you take great pleasure in the things of the flesh.
the gluttony of the flesh, the lustfulness of the flesh, the greed of the flesh, the sin of the flesh. Why? That's why Moshe had to deny the pleasure of sin for a season. He chose rather to suffer with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for that small season. Men love the pleasure of sin. They love to enjoy the pleasure of sin because sin gives pleasure to the flesh. And the things of Yahweh have no pleasure in the hearts of this generation because it is evil, it's wicked, it continuously think evil and imagine evil things. And so the pure things of Yahweh will not settle in the soul. And so that's why you get offended at the truth of Yahweh that deals with the things that you have hidden down in your soul and hidden in your heart instead of the law of Yahweh and the righteous rule of Him in you. You hide your own self-righteous sins and your own self-righteousness deep down in your heart. And that's why you says death. So the things of Yahweh don't bring about the life of His Spirit. What is that? Joy, peace, rejoicing. The things that are in you, they bring death. It destroys the things of Yahweh. So that's why there's no gladness when you hear the word of Yahweh. That's why there's no rejoicing. That's why there's no praises. That's why you got to be pumped and motivated. Why? Because there's nothing in you to motivate you. You have no truth in you. Truth motivates one. There are men sitting on death row today knowing that they did not commit the crime that they're charged with. And because of that truth, they're free. They're free. They say, I can die. No, I didn't do it. And I stand before the great judge. We will find out if I did it or not. And so that's what it is, the sin. That's what prevented David from building this house of Yahweh, the sin. The sin, the corruption. That's why you can't build an altar in your heart unto Yahweh, that there's a continuous sacrifice of praise. There's a continuous sacrifice of gladness in your heart. You build altars unto the flesh. I want to show you that in scripture too. You prepare altars, but it's not the altar of Yahweh. We ought to prepare a place in our hearts for Him. Whereby there's a continuous prayer offering and praise offering. There's a savoring smell that goes about us 24/7. 365, whatever. It's a sad shame. That's why we don't prepare for nothing. We prepare to sin. Brother, sister, do something against you. You prepare to handle that situation. And in your own corrupt mind, I will deal with her. I will deal with him. I will let him know. That's how you prepare. We can sit in all our hypocrisy and say we don't, but that's the heart of this nation and those that say they love Yahweh. They truly don't love Him. So they don't want Yahweh to chasten them. Chasten me sorely, Father. Don't give me over to death. But my mind is separated from you. I don't want my mind separated from the Father. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Verse 6. Then he called Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for Yahweh of Israel. And David said unto Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind, my heart, to build an house unto the name. That's what it says. Not unto the authority, but unto the name of Yahweh, my Father. But the word of Yahweh came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly. That's why he prepared abundantly. When you know you have sinned abundantly, you ought to prepare abundantly. So that's why David wanted to make sure that his sins were cleansed and they would not go before him. And thou hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. You have sinned, David. You have done things that were egregiously wrong. He did. He said, behold, a son shall be born unto thee, who shall be a man of rest. He shall be a man of peace. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his day. He shall build a house for my name. How do you get around that? How do you get around building a house for his name? What is his name? This wicked world don't want to identify it. But he said he's going to build a house unto my name. And my name is going to dwell there. This wicked world today want to deny him. You deny his name. You deny him. You say that's not his name. You don't know him. And he shall be my son, and I will be, look what he says, I will be his what? That's what he wants to be, our father. He said, I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom over Israel forever. My son, Yahweh be with thee, and prosper you, and build the house of Yahweh your father, as he has said of thee. Only Yahweh give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou may keep the law of Yahweh thy father. You may keep the law. You may keep the law. That is why these houses today, they're built with stubble and wood, but they're not built with the precious stone of faith. They're built with everything but what Yahweh, the cornerstone, is missing. They have no foundation of truth. Their hearts are wicked. They're unclean. They have no love for the law of Yahweh, for Yahweh to govern their hearts. They love their own sins and their own wicked ness. They love sinful things. They love wickedness. They love the wickedness of the world. That's why there's no peace in the souls of many today. For the things of the world never bring peace. They never bring joy. They bring death. It brings a separation from Yahweh. That's why the world is separated today. The world has an abundance. America has an abundance. She has more than any nation. She, 300 million people, have more than 6 billion people. America has more than 6 billion people. America has more than 6 billion people. The whole world's wealth is only, if you want to quantify that, it's only about $60 billion. And America has over a tenth of that. 300 million people. If there's a disparity, there's one there. And yet they're still not faithful. They're not grateful. Don't tell me these things. Bring about the power of Yahweh's truth in a man's heart. These whorehouses, they preach of their God, Dad, and media. They don't love Yahweh. They're gods of fortune. That's who they preach on today in these whorehouses. And the Methodists, the Baptists, the Pentecostals. I say it, and I don't repent of it. They're not preparing for Yahweh. They're not preparing for that. This wicked world is not preparing for the great coming of Messiah. They're preparing for their years of old age. Making sure their hospitalizations or their drug account is current. They got to keep their drugs in them to keep them alive. They need their drugs. They use that word without any fear of it. When I was growing up, drugs, you didn't say that. Drugs were heroin and cocaine and marijuana and pills. And now the seniors need their drugs. That's what keep the drug addicts going. They're drug addicts. They're nothing but drug heads. They're drug addicts. They have no real life in them. It is a false, superficial life. That's why they need drugs to sustain what's even in them. For the spirit in them cries, I want some drugs. I need some drugs. I need some Quaaludes. And there are all kinds of drugs to stimulate the life of the cells in a man's body. It's not the life of the spirit. It's not the life of Yahweh. David said, I'm going to prepare. Make sure that you, when you come along, you know what to do. And that's what we ought to do. Every one of us ought to be so prepared that when others look at us, they see the preparation and the readiness to die that will cause them to prepare even in a greater fashion. And what you see in your little social events, your little social cliques, is sin and corruption. You prepare your mouth and you frame mischief and lies and corruption. You don't frame the truth. You discuss things that are wicked, they are perverted, they're wicked, it is not, it doesn't pertain to the life of Yahweh. You think you're going into the kingdom, I'm here to tell you, you're sadly mistaken, and you are wrong. It takes you always to prepare the heart of man. The preparation of the heart of man is from Yahweh. And without the laws of Yahweh, that's why he said, Yisrael, I will not chance it. I will put my law in your heart. Now, if he put that law in our hearts, the law is done away with. That's a foolish statement. And that's what these lying doctrines teach. He said, I'll put my law in your heart, and I'll put it in your inward part. He said, you won't have to go and look. It's going to be in you, and you will know. So you tell me the law of Yahweh is done away with. Messiah came to bring the life of that law, that he brought it to reality. It's real. And those that understand the significance of Messiah dying for us. It was a price that Yahweh said, look, I will show you your value. What equals the value of this Messiah? What, you take the hosts of the heavens? Do they equal the value of Messiah? Not so. Do you take everything in the world, equal that value? Nothing. It's not even a germ in the pot. It's not even a germ in the pot. We take that for granted. And that's this generation, because it's corrupt, it's wicked. It's a very vile, evil generation. It's preparing to sin, but it's not preparing to meet Yahweh. It prepares his heart to sin, to live wickedly, to do wickedly. We prepare to do things like that, and it's wrong. It's wrong. And Yahweh is speaking to this house personally today. He's speaking to you. You're not going to continue in the ways and the walk and the things you do. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of Yahweh personally. You're not going to continue. And that's it. And that is his warning. He's not going to allow it. He's not going to allow it. We bring shame to his name. We bring dishonor to him before he, the wicked world. That's why he had to destroy Israel, because they brought shame to the name of Yahweh. And the heathen practices. We practice things just like the heathens. That's why there's such death. That's why there's no strength. That's why you can't lay hands on one another and pray the prayer of faith and believe for the power of Yahweh to fill one's heart. You can't even do that. Because sin, the death in you, prevent you from doing that. You don't have faith to pray for yourself. Wives have no faith to pray for their husbands and husbands for the wife. It's a place to be awakened. Quicken yourself by the Spirit. You got to make yourself alive. It's not a place to be drunk in Yahweh's house. It's not a place to doze off because you miss what you need. It's not a movie house. You're not sitting in front of a television, some couch. You're the presence of Yahweh. You're his house. The reason that you become so sedated in your own fleshly corruption, you don't believe that because you don't believe who you're before. That's why you get drunk. You have plenty of time. Go to bed. Get up. You can sleep 12 hours. The scripture says in Isaiah 65, verse 11, you better let Yahweh prepare your heart. Yes, see, when a man's heart is prepared by Yahweh, then the answer of that tongue is from Yahweh too. The answer of your tongue, who is that from? You tell me Yahweh prepared that answer out of your mouth? Yahweh prepare our answers the way we answer? Not so. For Yahweh prepares, he make preparation in the heart of man. Yeah, when you make preparation, there's things that you know that are necessary, that are needed. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 11. He said, but you are they that forsake Yahweh. You have departed from Yahweh. He said, first of all, you have forsaken him. Look at this. I want to show you the sins. First of all, you've forsaken him. One. Two. That forget my holy mountain. You forget that you're in the presence of Yahweh. We forget that, don't we? We forget that we're in that high ecclesiastical place. He said, you forgot my holy mountain. He said that prepared. This is what you do now. Now you can look up this in a good concordance. It will tell you. He said, you prepare a table for the God of fortune, Gad. Is not that what they're doing in these four houses today? Is not that what it says, the God of fortune? Is that what it said, the God of fortune, Gad? And that's where the word God comes from, that word Gad, German God, Gad. And that's what they talk about, their God of fortune. When they talk about God, they talk about what a fortune, don't they? And that's what they're doing today. They're preparing a table for their God, Dad, the God of fortune. God wants you to have much. Listen, God wants you to have riches. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have more. He wants you to be a millionaire. See, that's the spirit of this Dad. That's how they incorporated this Mithra, this phony pagan trash, and what they call Christendom. And that's what it is. It's not the way of Yahweh. It doesn't prepare a man's heart to die, because the God of Gad, their God Gad, prepare them to elevate themselves to his status. And that's what these wicked folks are doing today. He said, you prepare a table now. We ought to let Yahweh prepare a table for us in the midst of our enemies. And his table is a table of suffering, one of denial, one of truth, and one of love. And when Yahweh prepares a table for us to eat off of, you, we don't want that. But when the fortune God of Gad prepares, well, you want that. The Walmart, the Kmart, the nickel dime, the dollar dime. Those are the things that this world wants today. It doesn't want the things of denial, self-preservation by the Spirit of Yahweh. It doesn't try to preserve the Spirit of Yahweh or his truth. It tries to preserve self. And so they're giving them the spirit today, this God of fortune. And that is what is preaching these Pentecostal houses, these whore houses, these apostate houses. That's all they preach today. The God of fortune, Gad. Well, they use different names, Jesus and Lord and God, but that's the name. His name is Yahweh. And if Yahweh tells them that what God you're serving, you tell me we don't know the one we're serving. Something gets sick in our minds that we don't know that. We hear the truth. We don't resist the truth. We don't turn our hearts. I don't care who stands with me on the truth. I don't care who stands. Because I must stand before His judgment. Here Yahweh identified the gods. He tells us the gods whom they serve. The Babylonian deities. That's what they are. Deities. And that's why they're trying to make Yahweh out of a deity. He's what? Messiah the Father is one. The Spirit is one. Echad. One. That's what it says in the Hebrew language. Echad. Scripture says, but ye have forsaken me. You have forgotten me. Forgotten my holy place. You don't want to come and worship. You don't like worshiping. You don't want to come to the house and bless me. Folks, that's a drudgery thing today. And it's sickening. The hearts are so corrupt. It's a tremendous task to come into Yahweh's house to bless Him. To sit in His presence to enjoy His comfort. He said, you prepare a table for the God. Now you tell me that Yahweh is a God or He's the same thing that this Gad is. You tell me, you say, well, it's capitalized. What difference does it make? You capitalize the word city doesn't mean it's still a city. Does it make it proper? It's just a city still. This ignorant generation, they don't want to be taught the truth. They're afraid of their traditions because they don't hold nothing. I don't want no tradition. I want the traditions of the elders of the book that kept the word of faith, the word of Yahweh, that built the tabernacle of Yahweh, and they brought the offerings unto Yahweh with a sincere, pure heart. That's the tradition I want to keep. I want to keep those of Hebrew 11 that they died, they wandered, they looked for the hope of the promise, and yet they died waiting on that promise. I'm not looking for a Walmart card or Sears card. I'm not looking for MasterCard or Visa card. I'm looking for the calling or the trump call. When the Malach of Yahweh shall sound the trump, and those that are dead shall arise first, and we that are alive and remaining shall be caught up to meet Him. That's what I'm looking for. I'm waiting for that call. I don't want no other call. They serve their God. And they prepare these whorehouses. They build these buildings today. My, what a shame. $50-100 million. That's a sin before Yahweh. I can build a building that will seat 30,000. For under $5 million. They have 3,000. They build $30 million buildings. That is not righteous. That is not the spirit of Yahweh. He is not building a natural building. Nor has He done that. That building that Solomon built was the edifice or a sign of the true tabernacle of Yahweh. And it is of people of every nation, every color, every creed that they shall come together and emanate the very power of the spirit of Yahweh. And the only way they do it is in that one consensus name. I look at people come from all over the world to our internet site. They come from Jamaica, Hungary, China, Taipei. How do they know what to look for? For they know that there's one name, Yahweh. And they look for that name, Yahweh. And they know that one name is the same in China as it is in Jamaica. In Hungary, it's the same. In Stockholm, Sweden, in Netherlands, in the UK, in London, it is still Yahweh. It is one name. And they come looking for that one thing, and that is that name. So that's why they come from everywhere. From Ghana, from India. How could a man in Ghana speak a different dialect? In a place like Ghana, they may have 30 dialects in that one land. And yet He knows that there's one name. It's the same as Yahweh. Pronounced the same in every tongue. Yahweh. No different. And they come looking for the one name. And when they find it, they know that that is a name. They see the spelling and they know that that is the name. I've looked at Chinese writing. And when it comes to the name of Yahweh, they have all these Chinese characters. And when it comes to that name, you will have the name spell out Yahweh. It will have all these Chinese characters. I've seen it in other languages, but when it comes to that one name, it is the same wherever it is pronounced. It is the same. And that is his name. Well, that's an English enunciation. No, my friend. That's a Hebraic. It is Yahweh. That's how it's enunciated. It's not an English terminology. Not at all. For he wasn't English. His name wasn't English. He did not speak to an English people. He spoke to a people that he called Hebrews. Back to verse 11. He said, and that furnish, that's what they do. They furnish the drink offerings unto the God of faith. Meaning, you tell me there are two gods, one of faith and one of fortune. They call into these lying show, their lying preachers of hypocrisy. Your faith, baby, is that God is going to give you a new home and a new car. Your faith. And yet scripture calls these gods by name. Mina and Gad. And the Father has no name. It's not so, my friends. He has a name. And that's why if we know who we are preparing for, we'll make the preparation and the urgency more urgent. That's why this wicked generation, they say the Torah and the prophets are no good. But they take the blessings of Abraham and the blessings, what they call the blessings, that they can add the strength to their God of fortune. But it doesn't work that way. Every word of Yahweh is pure. Not some of it. But every word is pure. And only the servant of Yahweh, a disciple, is going to love the truth of Yahweh. Those that are not of his, they will not love it. They will get angry. They will become hostile. They will get mad. They will not love it. Not truth. You can hear words spoken, but it's in between truth and words spoken. There are men that can speak this word quite well, but they don't speak the truth of it. Because there are men that hold the truth of Yahweh in unrighteousness, because Shaul talks about them. And that's the truth. Don't tell me they don't. But the truth, one thing you will know, that the truth will make everyone free. You're free when the truth is spoken. You're free from every tradition. You're free from your flesh. You're free from your own will. You're free to do his will. They can speak the word, and that's why folks go to these whorehouses, and there are men that get them and speak out of the same book I'm talking out of. And folks are still in bondage. They're still in their sin. They're still in their corruption. This nation is wicked, saints. It is so vile. It is so seductive, so wicked. It is such a deceived nation. In the paper, you all probably read that in USA Today. They have this thing of what they call toon, T-O-O-N. They call it toon pornography. Do you hear me? I'm not going to go into the graphic detail because it is so vile. It is so wicked and so corrupt. And they take these cartoon features. These women that their bodies, they buff them. They make them, they look literally real. And this nation is going hog wild behind this. The young folks, the old folks, they love it. And the things, the stripping things of what are my Savior, Yahweh, come destroy this nation. Bring it down, Father. I want them to bring it down. I want them to bring I see the stock market fall. Let it fall, Father. Let the bottom fall out. That's my prayer. I want it to fall. And I pray that Yahweh bring those strength to this nation. It's a wicked nation. They're sacrificing their sons and daughters on altars of hell. Well, you parents, I want every last one of you. You bring them up in the fear of Yahweh. You're chasing them big time. You correct them. That's the truth. You don't play with children. This world is sucking the life out of them. That is the truth. He says in verse 12, he said, therefore will I number you with the sword. And ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not even answer me. When I spoke, you did not even hear. But did evil before my eyes, and did not choose that wherein I delight. He said, you don't choose the thing that I delight in. Scriptures say, precious is the death of a saint in the sight of Yahweh. We don't choose that today. No, we don't choose that. We don't choose the death of our flesh. It is so corrupt that it rises up against you and actually binds the word of Yahweh. You eat bad, so you get angry at truth, you get mad, you get flustered, you're ready to fight, you're ready to battle against truth. You actually lift up a flesh arm against Almighty Yahweh. Don't you know that's a fool? Don't you know that's the spirit of a fool? You lift up your flesh arm against him that made that little puny thing. All of our arms together, still a puny thing before Yahweh. We have no arm of strength. There's no arm of strength and flesh. We need to prepare ourselves. We prepare our children to lie, to cheat, but not to die. We don't prepare them to die unto their little wheels and their little flesh. We prepare them to do every kind of thing. We think what they do is cute and they're cute. They are not. They're not. We don't prepare them to die, to be obedient. Because you're not prepared that way. We don't prepare ourselves that way. We prepare ourselves to sin. We prepare ourselves to do wrong, to do evil. And that's wrong. That's wrong to do that. It's not right. We need to let Yahweh prepare our hearts. And he prepared them with a rule and a law. David did not say your love and your spirit come from me. He said your rod. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any kind of evil or what, because thou art with me, thy rod and your staff. In the midst of death, the rod of Yahweh, why? Because we want to run from it. He said, you go and throw it. And he take that staff and pull you back under the clutches of death. He said, you afraid of that? You afraid of that? You don't trust me. So in death, he said, my rod and my staff is going to be your comfort. Not whether you know I love you. If I take my stick and wail it on you, that's going to be your comfort. Lying trust they teach today. Lies from hell. In the midst of death, we have comfort. Those that are truly his. Because he's going to put the rod on you. Because you're going to rebel against that. You're going to fight against that. You know, I was talking to Elder Martin this morning when we left. There was one thing I could say about old brother Lindsay. That the brother had an understanding of the blessings of Yahweh. He never complained. He didn't complain about how he lived. He didn't complain about his house. He never did that. The man never did that. And I was literally ashamed when I went in there and found out how he was living. I said, man, my heart was smitten. He said, Pastor Roberts, I'm all right. And I rebuked him because his bed was broke down. He said, I'm all right. Well, because he knew what the world would do. He knew that. So he didn't complain. He didn't murmur about his condition. He did not complain about it. Say what you want to. The man did complain. He didn't murmur. You know what I said to Elder Martin, boy, he was, what he said to me, I was thinking the same thing. Very identical words. Very identical words. He said that to me. I said, you know, Elder, I'm thinking that that's exactly what he told me. Very same thing. This is a generation that complains. He's not willing to suffer anything. You're not going to let your flesh suffer nothing. You're not going to let it suffer to be wronged. Because I'm going to straighten you out, honey, baby. You're not straightening nothing out. You need to get your own wicked heart straight. That's what you need to do. I would see him because he did. No, I would take care of that. No, you better get on your face and let Yahweh take care of that thing in you, brother. That's what you better do. And that is the truth. He said, verse 13, therefore thus saith the mighty, the sovereign Yahweh. He said, I'm letting you know that there's no other. I stand alone. So if he called them other ones gods, then he can't be a god. He can't be. He called them gods, so he can't be a god. He can't be a little small Elohim. He's Yahweh. He says, behold, my servant shall eat his who? Servants. But you shall be hungry. He said, behold, my servant shall drink, but they shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but they shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing with joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And that's why there's such vexation today. Because we're not preparing the table of Yahweh. We eat from every kind of unclean table there is, saints. Table of vomit and filth. We shouldn't eat from that. Yahweh prepares the table for us. And that's the only table we ought to eat from. The table of my flesh is filthy. I know how corrupt my flesh is. I know what it does. It corrupts good manner. And your flesh does the same. I know what this stuff will do. Don't tell me what it won't do. Don't tell me what this flesh wants. Don't you young ones try to tell me what it will not do. I'm in an age group where I know what this stuff will do. And so don't try to tell me what this stuff will not do. When it has its free range and its will, don't tell me what it will not do. Don't tell me what it will not think. That's why the world is offering what the flesh is thinking. Tune, pornography. The very thing that their children sat down today and watch all day. Those very things, the images. Even what they are doing in that degree, they're doing it on the television. That's why the minds of the children are sadistic today. They're sick minds. I don't care what you say, saints. Their minds are sick. Their minds, they have no minds at all. It is what they are being injected with, or what things are being conveyed to them. That is how they think, they respond, they react. They're being led by a spirit. And every last one of us is going to be led by a spirit. It is Yahweh's spirit, or it is the spirit of darkness. I don't care what you say. I don't care what these lie dog preachers say. They're liars. They're dogs. They don't care about the souls. They care about their living, their lifestyles, their riches, their cars, their home. That's all they care about. Their bank accounts. What they possess. Their name. That's why they all name their ministries after them. They are lords unto themselves. They are gods. They are gods unto themselves. If it was the work of Yahweh, would exalt him. What Messiah did was the work of the Father. So he exalted the name of the Father. He made known the name of Yahweh. It was the Father's work. Because in that name you find the hope of Messiah in the Father. He let you know because what he is doing in me, it is equal to what he is in the kingdom. It is equal. You can't separate it with nothing. I don't care how you try to divide it. It cannot be divided. My name, his name, because it is one. It exalts him. It lets you know who he is. His name exalts me. Why? Because I am the only one, Yahweh says, that can grant salvation unto the called and the elect. And this crazy generation, it is foolish, saints. It despises the things of Yahweh. You're going to be led by some spirit. That's the truth. That's why they got satellite speaking ministry. Pastor Roberts, how many channels do those satellite dishes get? I was talking to Norm there in Radio Shack of the day. I took my radio. They haven't repaired. They don't even have the parts of that anymore. It's obsolete. He said, Pastor Roberts, why don't you get one of these dish here? You will get 2,360 stations. I said, what do I do with 2,360 stations? I said, what do you do with that? There's nothing you can do with that. Tell me. How many of you think of cartoon stations? 200. Pornography, 200. Basketball, 200. Foolishness, 200. Comedy stations. Graphic pornography. You can get it. In your home. Graphic. The real stuff. And they don't care today. It's not a spirit of fear of Yahweh. This is this nation that's what is given over unto it. It's a pleasure nation. It's not preparing to death. And these spirits keep them alive. And they can't wait till the next day for the same thing. That's what keeps them alive. Not the hope of Messiah. That is the thing that ought to keep us alive, because he fulfilled the hope. He gave us a hope, saints. That we have hope that our Father lives. And that he is alive. That's what Messiah gave us. Hope that Yahweh, this one that created all things, he is for real. And that he can be touched by our infirmities, so much so that he sent him. That he suffered in a way that you can identify with his suffering. Know that these sufferings are real. And so what things that you endure, you just consider him that endured such suffering. And then you rejoice in that. Because he gave us hope to the Father. And we know we have a hope to the Father. Not some God called Gad. Not some God of blessing, of fortune. That's what it is. God of blessing. God of fortune. And that's what they serve today. You can live like a dog, live like a whore, and you can go to Gad. You can be a fornicator and adulterous, and you can go to many. It makes no difference. You can be whatever you want to. You can be a homosexual or whatever. There's a destiny for you. And that's what these lion dogs, they all have the same cliche every year. This is the year of destiny, and they all speak the same thing. This is the year of much, and they all speak the same thing. Well, because they get their calling from their God. And their God imparts unto them the spirit whereby that they should minister in. And it says to them, you are God. Now don't worry about that. That's your ministry, David Roberts' ministry. You are God. Come on, James Effler's ministry. And so everybody got their own ministry. Deborah Wagner's ministry. Gene Roberts' ministry. Joanne Honeycutt's ministry. They all got their own ministry. Why? Because Dad, the God of fortune, deals with you on your eco-social status. It makes no difference. There's a God of conformity. It conforms to you. Yahweh doesn't conform to anyone. You must conform. You must be renewed. Your mind must be changed, saints. And that's the truth. And that's what they're feeding them, a false Babylonian doctrine. These whole houses are filled with the spirit of Babylonism. That's why the women dress the way they do, because that's how they did. When they went before their gods, they dressed that way. They went before the queen of heaven, that Jezebel, they dressed that way. And that's why they dress the way they do. And that's why they live the way they do. You can shack and go to these whole houses and you have no fear of Yahweh. You don't even have any fear of Gad or Mini. Because you know you came there for your fortune. And they go to these whole houses just for their fortune. I'm blessed, baby. I am blessed. I am so blessed. Oh, God is good to me. I got a house. I got a car. Honey, I didn't have nothing, but I got everything I need. And then why are you still grabbing and scratching, trying to get more? They're liars. They're full of hell. And they tell you they're blessed. They are cursed. They are not blessed of Yahweh. They're serving another God. They're forming. They have another worship, because the law of Yahweh, when it's in a man's soul, it brings us to the light of his truth. Whom he is and the power of whom he is. And that power is to let you know I have the ability to govern and to rule and to dictate to you. I am the one that made you. You are nothing. You are nothing but a piece of dirt. And you ought to be rejoicing that, to know that I am the one and made you. That's in control. So these gods have name. What is his name? He has a precious name. We need to begin to prepare as David did. He began to prepare. He began to make ready. He took the necessary steps. And that's steps that we need to take. And I tell you, step one, you start at your heart. You need to begin to start at your heart. You need to begin to hear and pray, Yahweh, if I'm not a true man of Yahweh, you pray, Yahweh, get him out of here. If I'm exalting David Roberts in flesh, you pray and Yahweh will move me. If your heart is sincere, I only take two of you all together. He will move me on out of here, believe me. No problem at all. He'll cause me to flee in the night. You all don't have to worry about where I'm at. That's what he will do. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. You that are righteous, you will be bold as a lion and you will stand. And that's the truth. That's why these liars say they exalt their flesh. They don't exalt Yahweh. There can't be no kind of spirit of ministering the power of Yahweh, but Yahweh's anointing. So it is the ministry of Yahweh. It is not the ministry of David Roberts. I have no ministry. When the Malach come, when the Melachim come, they come to minister the power of Yahweh. They're ministering spirits. Gabriel did not come and say, I got a ministry. Gabriel's ministry. Micah did not come and say, Micah's ministry. They're loud dogs, what they are. They came to minister the power of Yahweh. Messiah did not come say, I got my ministry. He came to minister the name of the Father and the power of the hope in that name, for he was the hope in that name, the salvation of Yahweh. You go save us from all your enemies, from death, from the enemies. You're a man just like us. I know what I am, but I got something in me that I'm going to give you. And once I get up out of the grave, then you're going to believe me. There ain't no way you're going to get up. He said 3 days and three nights, so you'll know without a shadow of a doubt. No magician trick. We're going to make sure that the stone is put on there and no man is going to roll it back. It's going to be sealed with the king's approval. And he said, I want to give you something that nothing in nature, no mysticism, nothing can defy. I'm going to get up in 3 days. How about that? He said, 3 days I'm going to get up. Well, why are you getting up? To let you know that the one that raised me up, the one that raised me up, the one that raised me up, the one that raised me up in that resurrection to give you hope, to trust in the one that's going to raise me up. But that's what I'm going to give you. That's what he gave us, Satan. That's what he gave us. The one that brought him alive. He said the hope is in this flesh. That is going to get up in 3 days. And he got up. And he got up to give us hope. No doubt that we can have faith in Yahweh. Without it, you can't even please him. That's what he gave us. I won't deny that. So I don't need Gad. I don't need many. I don't need no fortune. I have food and raiment. I have food and raiment. I'm content. I got somewhere to lay my head. He didn't promise me that. But I'm grateful. I got somewhere to get out of the elements. I'm grateful. I'm glad. I'm glad that he gave me that. Don't need nothing else. There ain't nothing I want. You're talking, Pastor Rob. No, sir. I'm telling you the truth from my heart. There's nothing I want. There's nothing I can name that I want. Nothing. Nothing. Not in the physical sense. I don't need no clothes. I don't need a coat. I don't need a new pair of shoes. I don't need nothing. I got food. I got raiment. That's enough. And having that, I know who's provided that. And that's enough for me to bless him. He's provided. Because brother, Pastor Babu, that India, they have just a little old thatch hut. They have nothing. No food to eat. I won't discount what he's doing. And he's probably more faithful in many endeavors than I am. Not probably, he's more faithful. Because he serves a poor people in poverty that have nothing. He's given all to take care of them. He sold everything for that little house. So he's given more than I've given. And for me to have food and raiment to complain, I'm a dog. I'm not even a good dog. I'm not even a dog. I'm not even a dog. I'm the vilest of creatures. I'm the vilest of men. That's what I am. I won't complain. Not one bit. I won't complain. Not at all, Father. I want to prepare my heart to meet you. Nothing else to do. America is coming down soon. Her infrastructure shall fall. Her riches, her God, her many shall forsake her. These whole houses, their gods are going to deny them. Their house is going to crumble because they're not built on the law and the righteous statutes of Yahweh. They're built on personality of man. They're built on the wealth in these whole houses. They're built on sin. They do anything to gain. They will work anywhere to gain. They don't care. They will do anything. And say they're doing this unto Yahweh, they are liars. That is a lie from hell. Yahweh did not want the offerings of a prostitute. He did not want blood money. You cannot bring that to Yahweh. You can't bring that trust to Yahweh. You can be a prostitute and bring it. It's all right. Up there, Robin going VCC, that Jezebel that was a stripper and danced in the clubs, that her husband killed her and damaged the baby, and that yet they put her away like she was a saint. But she wasn't a saint. She was not under the covenant of Yahweh. She was a stripper in the nightclubs. She danced in the nightclub. That's where he met. She did that. She was full of her sins and her wickedness. And yet they justified that kind of wickedness. They received the offerings out of a whorehouse. It's wrong. Yahweh has no fellowship with any kind of harlotry spirit. He will not receive that offering of a whore. And that's what they do. They sell their sons and daughters unto Molech. They give them in the five to attune pornography on the television. They'll work two or three jobs and leave them alone to raise themselves. That's not the spirit of Yahweh. They turn them over to the vile world. These corrupt folks that are wicked, they're unclean. They put them in their hands. And yet when a man of Yahweh says something to their rebellious children, they get angry. The world tells them to give them drugs and everything. They put them on drugs. They give them all kinds of shots. And they give them over onto their philosophy and their mind-altering ability to contort them. Thinking. That's what they do. Hallelujah. They're not prepared for hell. And they sure are not prepared to meet Yahweh. That's what the world is doing. Yahweh said, you prepare your house. Let me prepare the table. Let me do it. And you coming down off my table. We've ate off the table of flesh long enough. And it produced nothing but corruption and sin. That's all it produced. And it'll produce no life at all. We're drunk. We're not sober. We're not vigilant about the Father's business. The things of Yahweh do not excite our hearts. Does it cause us to press forward? Don't cause us to pray. Ain't no willingness to pray. We put everything before Him. But what He says, to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't tell me you can love Him when everything in the world withdraws or removes you away from doing what He commands us to do. In that last hour, it is one thing that Messiah did. And we need to pray more in this house. He began to pray. He began to cry out. And the sweat fell off Him like great drops of blood. And yet those that He had chosen and called, they all were asleep. And we are the call of the chosen. We are asleep in an hour where darkness and sin is wreaking havoc over the folks. Look at your own life. Must take time for Him. You can't build a house unless you make sure the foundation is sure. The Messiah gave us a sure footing of the foundation. He gave us a sure hope of the footing of the foundation. He began to dig down deep in your soul. He uncovered things in you that you didn't even know there. I know He did it with me. Every day He showed me things in me. I say, how did you find that? He said, it was over that old stony rock there in your heart. It had it. It was under that. And I bless Him for overturning it. There are things that come forth. I say, my Father, I'm glad You're showing me this. Now, you may be all self-righteous. I'm telling you the truth. There are things down there that I'm glad He turns over. When I hear the simplicity of the word of Yahweh preach, when I hear brother exalting Yahweh, when I hear someone speak of His truth, when I hear scripture, it uncover the things in my heart and show me. That's what David said, Yahweh is chasing me sorely. That's what he said, brother Nate. But He has not given me over to death. He whipped me, but He didn't give me over to death. Thank You for that, Yahweh. I bless You for that. Hallelujah.